What do you make of Gary Stevenson's ascendancy and that sort of messaging that's happening in the UK?
Well, first, a frivolous point, which is if you want to help with wealth redistribution, Gary, go out and spend some fucking money, right? I mean, he was earning like £2 or 3 million a year and only earning one pair of shoes, okay? And his mates from school were working in JD Sports. And I couldn't help thinking reading the book, Gary, just go down to JD Sports and just buy a few pairs of shoes, help out your mates, okay? Get a hot tub, But his fundamental insight, unbelievably stingy, do you not think? You read that book?
I haven't read it. I've seen him talk on.
But jeez, Gary, just go out and, enjoy it, for crying out loud. Okay. I think you get that weird thing, actually, in banking, which is so much of your enjoyment stuff back then was covered by an entertainment budget, okay, that you got really, really resentful about spending your own money. You see what I mean? Most of us, the money comes in, 80% of it walks straight out again because we piss it up the wall. I haven't got an air fryer for the second bedroom, But there are people who kind of, if you're in that very corporate world where more or less all your fun is taken care of by some expense account, you actually find spending your money disproportionately painful. He's absolutely right in his insight that money is becoming unhealthily concentrated. In the two things I would say, he's absolutely right that economics uses these single representative agent models, which don't capture inequality. Okay. I would argue personally, Gary, that you need to read up a bit about Georgism, which I think the great ideas of Henry George and the land value tax would actually take care of a lot of that. In my view, if you tax land ownership, because property ownership is effectively, you are buying the right to impose taxes on the younger generation. So when people invested in gold, okay, it doesn't do anybody else any harm because I can make do without any gold. Okay, I'm not massively into bling. I'm not hugely into jewellery. Okay, we can all get by without gold. If there's a bloody a Dutch tulip boom, okay, I'll just switch to gladioli. Okay. But I can't substitute for property at some level. If your employer demands you work in a major city, okay, and land and commutable land is scarce, other than the blimp, of course, where you could just live tethered above Berkeley Square, 400 feet up, okay, other than your blimp solution, there's no escaping the depredations of rent-seeking landowners. And what has happened is that we've sanctified wealth and been pretty mean on income. Mm-hmm. Okay. So we've taxed away income discrepancies pretty energetically, but they aren't that big. Okay. I mean, what I mean by that is, if you look at income inequality, even before tax, never mind corrected after tax, the number of people who earn 20 times median income, okay, is they exist. But there are very few of them, and they pay an enormous amount of income tax. I mean, huge amounts of income tax. In other words, that's someone who's probably like a high-end lawyer in a partnership in, a London Magic Circle law firm. Now, there are a lot of people I'd rather the money went to than people in law firms, but nonetheless, those people pay a lot of tax, whatever you think about it, okay? By contrast, wealth inequality is monumental. I mean, there are people who, if they walked into a football stadium, every single person on average in that stadium would now be a multimillionaire simply because Bill Gates walked in. Okay, there aren't inequalities like that of that kind of extreme form in actual earned income. And yet we have this incredibly aggressive system of redistributing earned wealth. And yet we treat wealth that's actually resident in asset values and things as completely sacrosanct. And the problem is, until you actually get to that point where you start actually taxing, now Texas does it, amusingly, because you have quite heavy land taxes. So ironically, what's often stereotyped, I think unfairly, as, the most conservative state in the union, which in fact is not, okay, but, it's a highly conservative state, you actually pay quite a lot of tax on the value of the property you own. So the property taxes in Texas, I think around 2.5% if you own it. Now, the great effect that has is that it makes property less expensive because you have to pay tax on it, and it prevents you using property as an extractive store of wealth. Okay? And the extent to which I think you have to argue that speculation in property has been absolutely deleterious, has led to enormous redistribution of wealth effectively to the not necessarily very deserving old at the expense of the hardworking young, is I just find it impossible to dispute. Okay. I'm 59, by the way. I did okay. I surfed the wave. I didn't surf it very well. I now own, you know, a couple of flats. I don't own a house, nothing blingy. Okay. I now own a couple of flats sort of outright. But there are people who bought a house in 1974 whose children, this is literally a case I know of. Okay. So there's a woman living on her own in a 5-bedroom house not far from where I live, which is probably worth, with the garden, 4.5 million. Okay. Or 3.2 or something like that. She has no money to spend. Mm-hmm. I mean, she has all this money tied up in a totally illiquid form of wealth. So, you know, she's kind of going down Lidl and comparing the price of lemons, even though she owns a fuck off, you know, 3.5. Her children are kind of worried about how they replace the shock absorbers on their car. And then the argument would be, why should those children go out and work really hard? What I do, to be absolutely honest, is get into debt, go off to Barbados and wait for your mum to die.
Right. Fuck me.
No, but nothing you do working, let's say, as a school teacher. So there's this great book, you must get her on, called The Inheritocracy.
Okay.
By a woman called Eliza. Oh God, I'll remember it in a second.
You're becoming increasingly left wing here, Rory.
No. I'm pretty right wing in terms of people's earnings because you have actually earned them. So Henry George, effectively, the way to understand Henry George is it was an approach to life which actually had a brief but extraordinary success, popular success in the United States. The game of Monopoly is based on, it's trying to interest people in George's principles of extractive rent seeking. Okay. And the basic principle of Henry George is that I'm going to qualify this. It's extremely free market and capitalistic with regard to the fruits of your labor. Okay. Anything you do, anything you build on your land is yours to keep. But it's effectively highly socialistic in terms of land ownership and arguably ownership of limited resources. So a Georgist would also tax oil, for example. Anything that's... And the argument is you didn't make those things. They're, would have been in the 19th century, they would have said, this is God's creation and you're only, you know, you're actually, you don't own it because you didn't make it. You don't have the right to own this thing because you didn't make it. What you are is a custodian of it and you pay commensurate tax on the land you own. Okay. Whereas you would in purest Georgia circles, you have no income tax at all. Okay. That probably a bit extreme. But it's sometimes called geoism, and it's there's also a school of thought which is kind of environmental Georgism, which is you tax the consumption, or you tax anything where you rivalrously consume something of which more can't be made.
Right. Yep.
Okay. And what happens in Texas, quite interestingly, is all these Californians apparently move to Texas and they go, God, the land here is really cheap. Let's buy loads of it. Mm. And then 6 months later, they get hit with a massive tax bill for their land ownership. And they go, what the hell's going on here? We bought this land because it's cheap. And the Texans reply, that's why it's cheap.
That's exactly why
you pay 2.5% tax on it.
Did you ever look at that issue with fighter pilot seats that was designed for average?
Yeah, that's a brilliant point. So that's similar. That's analogous to Gary Stevenson. Have you had Gary on, by the way?
I haven't. He was supposed to come on in London a couple of months ago when we had last had you on.
I hope he's out shoe shopping instead. I'm in advertising. You know, meet me halfway, Gary.
Yeah.
If you want to redistribute wealth, it does help if rich people occasionally go out and buy something.
Yeah, there's an interesting debate going on about whether or not Gary Stevenson is basically thinly veiled performance art, that you've got this, the get up, the same pair of joggers, that all the rest of the stuff. It is, I don't know. It must be difficult to have.
I think he's okay. Apart from his consumption patterns, I think he's fundamental. So there are a few things where the problem with all these models is that the assumptions of the model that are necessary to simplify the model eventually come back to bite you. And looking at average wealth as if it's somehow representative of, that a successful
mean and variance is not the same
getting richer on average. The fact that for 30 fucking years, in the US and the UK, we presented rising property prices as a good news story. Is monstrous. I mean, that was just the most monstrous misrepresentation of information. You don't say gasoline's gone up, but good news, you've got a full tank of petrol, so your car's not now more valuable, right?
Is it a case of kind of a luxury belief that the sort of people who would be writing and consuming those and understanding those sorts of stories are likely to already be people who own property?
Yeah.
So their lesson is not going to be, holy fuck, it's going to be hard to get onto them.
You're absolutely true. Even worse, of course, every single MP in London throughout the 70s, well, 80s, 90s, 2000s, was basically heavily invested in the property market because they got a massive perk. They got their mortgage paid on a London home. So there wasn't a single person there with the possible exception of someone, you know, was Ken Livingstone ever an MP? I'm not sure he was. But apart from a few very, very principled leftists or possibly a couple of Georgists in the Conservative Party, it's a weird, by the way, it's a weird sort of philosophy because it's both left-wing and right-wing. And so it has its
adherence. At the same time.
Milton Friedman was a fan. So was, I always forget her name. I was married to Malcolm McLaren, you know, the fashion designer, Vivienne Westwood. She was also a Georgist. Okay. You get Richard Nixon, Winston Churchill.
Wow.
It has its adherence
really
everywhere.
Crosses the spectrum.
But what happened in the model was that Adam Smith thought there were three sources of wealth creation, which was land, capital, and labor. And future generations of economists thought it's too complicated having three things because it makes the maths difficult. So we'll pretend that capital and land are the same thing, and they're not. Because capital is potentially limitless and you can create more of it. Land is effectively an artificial bottleneck. It's a rent-seeking device.
Traveling should be about the pleasure of the trip and not the stress of packing, which is why I am such a huge fan of Nomatic. This travel pack, the 14-litre travel pack, is what I wear every single day. It is the biggest game changer, and it genuinely makes spending your day lugging your possessions around infinitely more enjoyable. They've got compartments for everything, your laptop, your shoes, your sunglasses, so well organized that even your toothbrush will feel important. It's like the Marie Kondo of luggage. Everything has got its place. And if you're still on the fence, their products have got a lifetime guarantee. So this is the last backpack you'll ever need to buy. And there's a 30-day money-back guarantee. So you can buy it, throw your possessions in it. And if you don't like it, they'll give you your money back. Right now, you can get a 20% discount off everything from Nomatic by going to the link in the description below or heading to nomatic.com/modernwisdom. And they ship internationally. That's nomatic.com/modernwisdom. Thank you very much for tuning in. If you enjoyed that clip with Rory, who's still here, by the way. Say hi, Rory. Hello. There you are. The full episode is available right here. Go on. Press it.